Are you running for office and have a message you want every voter in your district to hear? Well, that's where radio comes in. Radio is your direct line to morning commuters, midday grinders, and late-nighters. Radio puts your message right where your voters are. Plus, it's one-tenth the time and cost of video. Don't just campaign. Connect with millions all over the country, even thousands in the smallest communities with radio. Call now and be on air in just 48 hours. 844-844-IHEART. That's 844-844-IHEART.
It's 5 o'clock on your Tuesday night. This is Tucson Roadrunners Happy Hour from Fox Sports 1450 AM with David Maradian and Patrick Moore. It's our usual Tuesday night get-together right here on Tucson Sports Station, Fox Sports 1450 AM.
Welcome to another edition of Happy Hour on Fox Sports 1450 AM. David Maradian, Patrick Moore. We're going to talk to Daniel Fink, the voice of the Manitoba Moose, coming up in the next segment. The Roadrunners and the Moose with a two-game set, one day off in between. They play on Saturday and Monday up in Winnipeg, Manitoba. Patrick, how you doing? Tucson just on the outside looking in, but one of the more exciting times in sports is upcoming. NHL playoffs, of course, the AHL playoffs, NBA playoffs are all about a month away. March Madness starts today, if you count the first four. So there's a lot to get to. We don't have a lot of time, but more importantly, how do you feel on this Tuesday afternoon?
I'm doing good. Nothing crazy. I mean, you know, the games were great this weekend. I mean, two third period comebacks against a very good team in San Jose, clinching the season series, which was big, and, you know, inching closer to maybe getting into a playoff spot. Tucson is, but overall, just excited for the other sporting events that are going to be taking place in the next month or so.
Aside from the hockey playoffs, now some people would even throw the Masters in because that's, I think, one of the more watched American sporting events in the country throughout the year. So I'm not going to let you answer hockey. Pick something else. NBA playoffs, March Madness, the Masters, other. Is there anything else that you're interested in?
Around this time, it's probably baseball starting up, the Masters.
Right, that's true, too. I forgot. I left that out.
Yeah, so probably baseball starting up, you know, and then the Angels lose a couple games early on. Then I'm like, all right, they're not making it. And then, the you know, that's when the golf majors kind of swing in a little bit, yep, with the Masters. And then, I mean, March Madness is number one, probably. You know, every year, you know, getting that bracket filled immediately. Or maybe I wait until – what do you do? Do you wait after the first four? Or before?
No. I feel very strongly about this. I think, and I do it every year, you've got to have, everybody's got that one first four team that you're like, I think this team, they might do something. And you got to make that pick on, I think you got to get your picks in by noon today. That's my rule. You got a couple hours before the game, noon Arizona time. So that'd be mid-afternoon, you know, right before dinner on Tuesday. You got to anticipate who's going to win the first four matchup. And then you got to kind of hedge your pick. Coming up, how confident am I that this 11 seed is going to win? If they do win, do I think they're going to win the next game? I think that's all got to be part of it. So, yeah, it gets started today, in my opinion. Got to get the bracket in on Tuesday. That's my take.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the same way, but last year I wanted to wait. I've never done this. I wanted to wait after the first.
How'd it work out for you?
It worked out, honestly, pretty well. I, like, had pretty much my final four intact, but Duke screwed. Duke, like, screwed me in that Final Four. I had them go in the championship game.
So you had Duke beating Arizona. So I've picked Arizona every year since I've been a student.
I have an Arizona bracket picked.
And you have an honest bracket.
I have an honest bracket because I'm an honest gentleman. And last year I was like, I don't know if they're going to, you know, I said they're going to make a run, but they're going to run into Duke. That was, you know, all roads.
That was true. Well done.
So I just don't know about the first four 11 seed game. I don't know, because I feel like Miami of Ohio has barely played anybody. And here's the funny thing about Miami of Ohio was all the games leading up to their loss to UMass in the MAC quarterfinal, they barely won. That's where I'm kind of like, I could see SMU, and I hope SMU wins. I really want to see the first 31-1 team lose in the first four. I would love to see it. I'm hate watching today, and I'm excited. Or I don't know when
today's a hate watch. Is that what you're saying?
It's nothing against Miami of Ohio. It's just, it's like they're 31-1 and they didn't play anybody. They don't have any quad one wins.
Well, I mean, it's not necessarily their fault that the conference they play in is a little bit weak. I think when you're undefeated for so long, it becomes a little bit distracting. You're thinking, you know, you've been winning. You got to get tripped up eventually. I think now that they've lost, perhaps they'll be able to clear their sights and deliver. Yeah. I actually am pulling for them. You know, what do you need another ACC team in there for? SMU, you know, I'm good. I'd like to see Miami Ohio do it. So we're not in agreement here, Patrick. I'm pulling for, I don't even know what they are. Miami Ohio. Do you know what their mascot is? I was going to say, I'm pulling
for the Red Hawks.
Oh, the Red Hawks. How could I forget?
Ben Roethlisberger went there. That's a fun fact.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
Two-time Super Bowl champion.
Yeah, two-time Super Bowl champion. I don't know. I think it's interesting this year. I mean, just with all, I mean, a 31-1 team is in the first four. That doesn't make any sense.
Well, I mean, it makes some sense.
Because they didn't win their conference, but it's like, isn't it crazy? Like,
what would you have done? Would you have given them a better spot? Some people say they shouldn't even be in at all.
I think the first four is fair. I think agree. It's fair. I mean, you win your conference, you get a bit. I mean,
they had the best regular season record. They did not win the conference tournament.
That's what I'm saying, though. Is like, I feel like, you know, you win your conference, they would have. I mean, we all know that if you win your conference, you get a bid. But I don't think it's leaving them out. It's just, that's just pathetic. If no team has ever been left out with that good of a record, then let's just keep it like that. Put them in the first four. I feel like it's respectable. You know, so that's just my take. I hate
it's
that
certainly first, a good compromise.
I just hated that the former Auburn coach was making a big fit on CBS saying like, oh, they shouldn't be in. It's like, dude, your son is coaching Auburn and you think they should get in. They're like 17-14. This team has won over 25 games.
Yeah.
You know, I think Arizona went 32-2, I think, right? By my understanding. So they pretty much had almost an identical record to Arizona in a way. Almost.
Well, I mean,
I know they played a couple.
That's like saying that, here's what you just did. Oh, my brother coaches my younger sister's basketball team in sixth grade, and he went 17-1. So I think that the Knicks should hire him next year because that's a really good record.
No, it's not exactly the same thing. I'm not trying to like make that. I'm just saying, like, isn't it kind of crazy that a team like had an identical record to Arizona, which, you know, I think, you know, not being biased here, but probably being biased, that they're going to probably win the national championship. You know, it's kind of crazy that they have the regular season record. I just think it's impressive. You know,
it's an impressive record. It's an impressive record, but I got to leave it at that. I really don't think there's a lot of comparisons between the Arizona Wildcats and Miami of Ohio. But for Ohio in general, happy to toss them a bone. And I will actually be pulling for them. And I'm hoping they can justify the spot because there's other teams possibly down the line that, look, they had a great season. They certainly overachieved and exceeded expectations. And I hope they get something out of it. And rather than end on this kind of sour note, everybody was right. They didn't deserve to be there. I'd like to see Miami, Ohio go out on a bit of a higher note. Can the Roadrunners go out on a high note? That's the question on everyone's mind right now. The Utah Mammoth are in great shape, by the way. So if you're anticipating the roster gymnastics, our team's going to be calling up or down, vice versa, here's what we do know. The Roadrunners are very narrowly on the outside looking in. The Utah Mammoth, to me, are where they've been for the last couple of months, really. They are locked in at that 7 seed. They're playing really well. They're not going to catch any of the top three teams in the Central. But I think that 7 seed has been theirs for quite a while, so expect them to play the winner of the Pacific Division. And so what do you think? How do you interpret that, Patrick? Do you think they're going to be heavy on Roadrunner players? Do you think they're going to let Tucson do their own thing? What's kind of your read on that?
It just depends on where the Mammoth are. I mean, David, every day I wake up and I'm like, I don't know who is going to get those final two wild cards. I mean, one day I'm like, oh, maybe the Mammoth are going to get it. They're going to pull away. Oh, the Kings are winning again. Oh, the Sharks are winning again. The Kraken. I mean, it literally might come down to the final day. And, you know, I feel like there's never really been these situations where it's come down the last day. I feel like you see it more in baseball where there's five teams looking for those last two spots. So I wish I could give you a logical answer, but I just don't know.
How really shocked do you see the Anaheim Ducks in first place in the Pacific?
I'm just happy that they're in a playoff spot. I don't really care where they finish. But it's crazy. I mean, the Mammoth have more points than a division leading team in the conference. I mean,
theoretically, right,
all the teams in the Pacific would probably not make the Eastern Conference playoffs. I think. I saw that. That's true right now. Yeah. So it's this Western Conference feels like just not real at all. That if you had to give me a term, it would be not real for the Western Conference. You have three of the league leading best teams in the Central with Colorado, Dallas, Minnesota. And then you look at the Pacific top three and you're like one of those teams from the Central is going to, you know, play the top two, you know, either Dallas or Minnesota to a game seven series. And then the winner, I was joking with my friend who's an Avs fan. He was joking. He was saying that the Avs are going to get to the conference final and then they're going to lose in the conference final to a Pacific Division team who's healthy.
Right.
So
I got the perfect analogy for the Pacific Division. I put a lot of thought into it. You want me to give it a stab, see what you think?
Sure, why not?
I know you love my analogy, so I'm sure you're just over the moon with excitement. Imagine you have an apartment complex, okay? And you need 15 or 16 units. And the person constructing it, they kind of, you know, they give the beard a little scratch. They hold their pencil, they ponder. And they say, all right, here's what we're going to do. Three beautiful, gorgeous penthouses. Right at the top, luxury, everything. If you can think of it, we're putting it in there. Just the most gorgeous penthouses you've ever seen. And the person says, oh, but you're going to run out of space. What about the other 13 units? He's like, oh, whatever. Just make them studio apartments. It doesn't matter. I mean, if you can get them a bathroom, fine. But they just kind of need a bed and maybe a carpet. And that'll be okay. So let's go 13 studio apartments and then three mega penthouses. That's what I think of when I look at the Western Conference. You've got this huge contrast, but it all fits into the building. The points are there. The points add up the same as you have in the East, but they're all consolidated with Dallas, with Minnesota, and with Colorado.
That's totally. I mean, what are you saying about the East, though? Is the same? Are you saying that the Toronto?
Here's what happened in the East. You had all the rich people from say 2025, right? And the mayor said, all right, here's what we're going to do. There's too many rich people. We're just going to spin a wheel. It doesn't matter. Whatever happened last year, I don't care. Whoever was working hard or not or had success, don't care. We're going to spin a wheel. Whoever gets whatever thing, that's what they get. So all of a sudden, the Buffalo Sabres, they take a spin and they land on the Florida Panthers. And they're like, oh, look at me. I'm moving into the penthouse. See ya. So it's just chaos over there. There's all this change. Things are going wild. And you just can't make sense of it. People who are not used to making the playoffs are going to be number one seeds. Teams who have been perennially in the postseason are going to be finished up in mid-April. So it's pretty shocking.
Run a business and not thinking about radio? Think again. Because more people are listening to the radio on iHeart today than they were 20 years ago. And only iHeart Broadcast Radio connects with more Americans than TV, digital, social, any other media. Even twice as many teens than TikTok. And that reach means everything. Just think about the universal marketing formula. The number of consumers who hear your message times the response rate equals the results. Now let's get those results growing for your business. Radio's here now more than ever, and iHeart's leading the way. Think radio can help your business? Think iHeart. Streaming, podcasting, and radio, where the reach is real. Let us show you at iHeartAdvertising.com. That's iHeartAdvertising.com or call 844-844-IHEART. One more time, just call 844-844-IHEART and get radio working for you.
This episode is brought to you by Spreaker, the platform responsible for a rapidly spreading condition known as podcast brain. Symptoms include buying microphones you don't need, explaining RSS feeds to confused relatives, and saying things like, sorry, I can't talk right now, I'm editing audio. If this sounds familiar, you're probably already a podcaster. The good news is Spreaker makes the whole process simple. You record your show, upload it once, and Spreaker distributes it everywhere people listen. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and about a dozen apps your cousin swears are the next big thing. Even better, Spreaker helps you monetize your show with ads, meaning your podcast might someday pay for, well, more microphones. Start your show today at Spreaker.com. Spreaker, because if you're going to talk to yourself for an hour, you might as well publish it.
Yeah, I mean, my Anaheim Ducks, were kind of in the news.
They're really like an Eastern team, yeah.
Yeah, I'm talking about how they were in the news with Rako Gudas's suspension. And, you know, you saw the hit. As a Ducks fan, it's a dirty hit. I hate the knee-on-knee hits. As a former player, I don't like them. I really don't. Mm. But you saw all the backlash that Toronto players were getting about not standing up for Austin Matthews. He's lying there. He's in pain. It turns out that he has a grade 3 MCL. He's out for the season. It's just been a train wreck of a season for Toronto. They're not going to make the playoffs for the first time before he showed up, before Matthew showed up. Do you think that they should have stood up for him? I know it's Rako Gudas. He has a reputation of not backing down from a fight. What do you think? Did you even see it? I know you were in Europe.
No, I saw it. It was brutal. I mean, there was certainly... you know, there's a line, right? There's what's acceptable, and we love physicality, but sometimes can be crossed. I think you always have, it's kind of like your sibling, right? You get into a fight, and sports can be a brotherhood. But even if you know they're being a bit of a knucklehead, something you gotta defend them. It's kind of like defend them in public, scold them in private. So you have to present yourself as a united front. You can't be making a moral judgment on the ice like, you know, I'm not gonna defend my guy. I think publicly you have to sort with it so that the team looks like they're united, and then privately you can be like, hey man, like, what are we doing here? Are you kind of on the same thought process as me?
I agree. I mean, you know, I wouldn't want to fight Rako Gudas myself. I mean, that would be, you know, he just have to do this and that's it. But I just kind of feel like, you know, that's your captain. The season isn't going well. You guys aren't going to make the playoffs. Have some fight. And a lot of people are kind of speculating now with how the season's gone and with the future very looking kind of bleak and just the unknowns of what Toronto will do. Do you think Austin Matthews would be like, I don't know if I want to be here if I don't have any support like that? Where, like, look at Quinn Hughes. He got traded in early December, and now he's playing really well. I mean, he's always one of the best defensemen in the league, you know, up in the top three. And you look at him now, and the Wild are thriving. You know, the Canucks are doing a huge rebuild, but it's like, you see like an Austin Matthews situation where it's like, I don't know if I want to be here anymore. And he leaves, you know, I mean, Toronto is needing to really, you know, do a lot of soul searching. They might need to get a new coach in the off season. I just don't think Craig Berube has been the guy, and it's, you know, he's a good coach as well. I mean, he's had a really good coaching tenure. I mean, won a Stanley Cup, but I just don't think it's really worked out. And there's a lot of, I mean, there's pressures. I mean, it's Toronto, you know, it's a hard place to win. It's like Edmonton. So it will be very interesting to see what unfolds on the off season, because I don't know. I really just don't know.
Well, we've whet your appetite for hockey discussion, but we've been NHL heavy. So we're going to shift gears and touch on the American Hockey League, specifically this weekend's upcoming matchup between Manitoba and Tucson. Coming up next, it's Daniel Fink, the voice of the Moose, to give us insights on that series right here on Happy Hour on Fox Sports 1450. Welcome back to Happy Hour on Fox Sports 1450 AM. Now joined by Daniel Fink, the voice of the Manitoba Moose. And Daniel, the last time we spoke, of course, it was in October. It was not a great start for Manitoba. The team's still finding their footing, trying to get out of the gate. All of a sudden, you take a glance at the standings, and the Moose are in great shape. Third place in the division, jockeying for one of those buys. So just take us through how the team was able to, albeit a small period of struggle, but how they were able to turn it around and find their footing here later stages in the season.
Yeah, it actually started pretty promptly after our visit to Tucson. The team went on a 6-game winning streak, which kind of wiped out the early struggles. And since then, they've just been kind of a little bit, few more wins than losses. And they've been trucking right along and been able to build up a little bit of steam and in a very tight central division that's given them an opportunity to be in those top three slots, which is where they sit coming into the week's action. So for Manitoba, they're into a stretch here right now where it's kind of been win three, then maybe go 500 for a little bit and then maybe lose a couple. So they've kind of been just a little bit better than 500 over a long period of time. And that's allowed them to just slowly raise that level over that 500 mark, build up some distance on the playoff line. And like we're saying, give them this chance to avoid that first round 4-5 matchup.
Daniel Fink joins us on Happy Hour, the Roadrunners and the Manitoba Moose, two matchups this weekend, although the second game occurring on Monday the 23rd. It'll be noon Arizona time on Saturday, and then 5 p.m. on Monday, a two-game set. The final two matchups, Manitoba and the Roadrunners this season. All right, so the Moose have climbed up to third place. Which players do you think have been the most crucial contributors and are accountable for that rise up the standings for the Moose?
Well, I think you can look straight to the captain, Mason Shaw. He leads the team in scoring. He's trying to become the fourth player to ever lead the team in scoring in back-to-back seasons. So he's been very important, went on a really nice run, especially after representing Canada at the Spengler Cup, came back from that and was nearly at a point-per-game pace for a month there. And then you look at the back end, and guys like Isaac Phillips of late have really started to contribute. And we saw him score a big goal, then drop the gloves about 2 minutes later in Calgary over the week. And really make an impact on that game. He spent some time with the Winnipeg Jets as well. You start to look at young players like Braden Jaeger, who's starting to find his way over the last little bit and start to become a more consistent offensive contributor. And that's a player with a first round pick pedigree that the Winnipeg Jets acquired in the Rutger McGroarty trade. So there's kind of contributions from everywhere. I mean, when you look at the Moose scoring list, there's nobody that really pops off the page. There's nobody sitting with 50, 60 points at this stage of the season. They don't have one player with over 40 points, but they have a lot of players with 20 or more. So it's been a very balanced scoring attack for the Moose, despite not being a heavy scoring attack. They don't score a ton of goals, so that offense, again, it's not going to really pop up the page. So that means you need good goaltending. And if you look at what Thomas Milich has done over the last little bit, it is truly remarkable. And he's coming off coming from the weekend, we'll be seeing the Tucson Roadrunners next weekend, but he's been rolling right now. 44 saves against the Calgary Wranglers the other day, had back-to-back shutouts the week before, so he's really been finding his pace for a goaltender that seems to excel this time of year.
Run a business and not thinking about podcasting? Think again. More Americans listen to podcasts than ad-supported streaming music from Spotify and Pandora. And as the number one podcaster, iHeart's twice as large as the next two combined. So whatever your customers are into, true crime, sports, comedy, culture, they'll hear your message. Plus, only iHeart can extend your message to audiences across broadcast radio. And all this reach means everything. Just think about the universal marketing formula. The number of consumers who hear your message times the response rate equals the results. Now let's get those results growing for you. Think podcasting can help your business? Think iHeart. Streaming, radio, and podcasting. Let us show you at iHeartAdvertising.com. That's iHeartAdvertising.com. Or call 844-844-IHEART. One more time, call 844-844-IHEART and get podcasting working for you.
This episode is brought to you by Spreaker, the platform responsible for a rapidly spreading condition known as podcast brain. Symptoms include buying microphones you don't need, explaining RSS feeds to confused relatives, and saying things like, "Sorry, I can't talk right now, I'm editing audio." If this sounds familiar, you're probably already a podcaster. The good news is Spreaker makes the whole process simple. You record your show, upload it once, and Spreaker distributes it everywhere people listen. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and about a dozen apps your cousin swears are the next big thing. Even better, Spreaker helps you monetize your show with ads, meaning your podcast might someday pay for, well, more microphones. Start your show today at Spreaker.com. Spreaker, because if you're going to talk to yourself for an hour, you might as well publish it.
And Phillips, who you mentioned, tied, I believe, with a Moose defenseman for most goals scored this season among blue liners for Manitoba. And then for Milich, maybe a bit of a test coming, because the Roadrunners offense this past weekend really lit up the scoring after they had been cold for a little while. So perhaps a confident Tucson offense is going to collide with a goaltender in Milich that has had a lot of success this season. One storyline to keep an eye on this weekend. And I want to talk about this. You get a team that's playing well. You've got this push toward the playoff. A bye is something the team's competing for. How confident do you think the locker room is? I'm sure you're around the team quite a bit. You get a good sense for the vibes with Manitoba. So do you get the sense that this is a confident team as the postseason is approaching?
Yeah, absolutely. I think they see themselves as having played a playoff brand of hockey for months now. Like we were talking about, they don't score a ton of goals. Playoffs tend to be tight checking games. They're one goal games. They're 2-1, 3-2 finals, things like that. And that's where this Moose team excels. And that's where we've seen them find success against the top teams in the division and top teams across the league in those tight contests. They've had success against the Laval Rocket, who are a division leader. They've had started to have some success against the Grand Rapids Griffins in the second half of the season. They've had success against the Chicago Wolves. So these are teams that sit above them in the standings. It's honestly at times been the teams that are below 500 that have been the trouble for the Moose this season. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out in the playoffs. But with the teams that the Moose have beat this season, they're pretty confident that they can take on all comers. They just have to be able to reliably stay within their defensive structure, be patient, and take those offensive chances when they come and find a way to bury those chances when they're there, because at times that has been the main struggle.
Now, Danny, I wanted to ask you a little bit about the, you know, the rookie core late. You know, have you seen any rookies that have kind of stood out to you since the visit against Tucson all the way back in October?
Yeah, the Moose don't have a ton of rookie players this season, but Braden Yeager, as I was mentioning earlier, is kind of the top rookie, if you will, kind of the big household name. Of course, they have another first-round pick in Colby Barlow, who's still kind of trying to figure out that offensive side of the puck, but has shown a lot of strides in his overall game and becoming a player that the coaching staff can rely on. But we're starting to see that offense shine through for Braden Yeager. He's starting to climb up that Moose scoring list a little bit. He has a healthy lead for the Moose leaderboard when it comes to the rookies. So he's been contributing on the power play, which has started to score a little bit more reliably of late. So when you have a player like Braden Yeager, you know they can score, you know they can produce offense. Sometimes it takes a little bit to sort out this pro level, and it seems like he's starting to get there and being able to attack the play a little bit more, play with a little more confidence, and we're seeing that come through on his production of late.
Daniel, I want to shift gears just a little bit. We spent the first about 6 minutes of the conversation summarizing the season it's been for Manitoba, but I was just curious, and I'll tell you why I'm going this way in a second, but how many years are you approaching personally with the Moose as a broadcaster?
Well, I mean, overall, this would be my 10th season with the Moose. So Manitoba came back to Winnipeg from St. John's, Newfoundland in the 2015-16 season. I was still hanging out with the WHL's Regina Pats at that point, but into the second season of them being back, I came over as the communications lead for the team, took on play-by-play duties in 2019, and since then have been calling the games. So I feel like I'm starting to get a little old here. It's amazing how fast 10 years has gone by, but yeah, it's been a lot of fun, and you know, I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. I have some amazing experiences with this team, and you know what, just still looking to find a little bit more playoff success, and hopefully this is the year that the Moose can go on a bit more of a run.
Now, it's interesting you say that, because 10 years ago, that's 2016. I mean, that still doesn't register in my brain. I know a lot of people kind of pinpoint that year, like, are you kidding me? I still can remember a lot of the current events at that time, and I can't believe, you know, that's a decade ago, but that's where we are now, and I'm sure the time has been flying for you. The reason I ask is this has been, I've had a little bit of play-by-play myself this year for the first time, and I have to say, the respect I have for, you know, my colleagues, I suppose, in the AHL that have done play-by-play for so long, and that you still have functioning brain cells, because it just drains me. I mean, it is such a fast game, and that you can do it 10 years and live to tell the tale. I mean, I have a hard time keeping up with the darn puck, so respect to you. And I'm curious if there's anything you've learned recently, because 10 years, people say you're always learning. Anything you've kind of picked up the last couple of years that you're like, man, I wish I knew this in 2016.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think especially in something like calling play-by-play, you know, folks will ask you questions about how you do what you do, and everybody's different. I mean, I'm lucky to have, just straight up, I have a pretty good memory, and that's a pretty good tool to have in your toolkit. I'm not saying you have to have a photographic memory or something like that to call play-by-play. Everybody has their own devices to memorize names and stats and things like that. I mean, I tend to not spend a lot of time memorizing stats. I've got my sheets there. I've got everything condensed onto a couple pages. I can quickly look that stuff up, or I can pull it up on the computer. But I find when you're able to, especially in the AHL, I mean, we play the same opponents so much. that side of it kind of settles in after the first maybe month or two of the season. You've seen everybody kind of once or twice, and then you're off and running. I feel like it would be a whole different can of worms going to the National Hockey League, where you've got maybe the same opponent three or four times in a game or in a season, and you're playing, seeing 30 different opponents. So that's a whole different beast. But I think one of the things for me is, I'm a pretty emotional person. I ride the waves of the game. I feel like that's where I get my edge for calling play-by-play, because my goal is always to bring that emotion of the game for a fan. It's easier maybe if you're watching the game, but when you're just listening to the game, maybe you're not pulling in all of the intensity and stuff like that from the game. So that's what I try to deliver. But sometimes you start riding that wave just a little too much. So I think that's been one of the things for me this season, is really kind of listening to some of the best in the game and what they do and how they call the play, is finding where to apply that emotion and where to rein it in and things like that. So I think that's something that I'm still working on. And I mean, I've been calling play-by-play on and off since, 2009. So it's always something you're working on. You're always honing your craft. You're always trying to get better. And just like the players that we're watching on the ice, you just try to get a little bit better every day.
Now, one, you know, thing that I think we may have in common is following the Olympics, and this is staying in line with the conversation we were just having, I almost had a panic attack when I thought about Kenny Albert and the fact that there's all these national teams, right? It's not just, you're talking about the NHL is a real challenge because you don't have as much familiarity with the rosters. Here's a bunch of players who just got new numbers, and yeah, you recognize the strides and the you know, skill set and the way they skate, but this is a new uniform, a new number, almost a dozen different teams, or maybe even, I can't keep track, and he's just ready to go, and he's got game after game after game. I mean, I don't want to sell myself short, but I'd be stunned if I could ever do that, and certainly with the expertise that he did. But did you think similarly watching the Olympics, like, man, as a broadcaster, I went right to, how does he memorize all these names, and he's got another game right after this, he has very little break. I mean, it's really a marathon for him.
I mean, I was having a panic attack just watching the games. So,
right.
When you get to those tournaments, it's pretty wild what guys are able to ingest and then turn around, whether it's World Juniors, World Championships, Olympics, World Cup coming up. It is impressive, especially when a lot of times you don't know, especially once you get to those knockout rounds, you don't know who your opponent's going to be or who the two teams are going to be until maybe the day before. And so then you got to get everything going. And that's where you rely on the prep that, whether it's the teams put together. I mean, we put together our scouts and media packages for every game, try to provide broadcasters with those snippets and things like that they can use so they can rely on us a little bit. So your communications departments, your relationships with the teams, things like that. And that's where I feel like a lot of that prep comes from. But they are the best at what they do for a reason. So guys like Kenny Albert or Chris Cuthbert, they are truly the best of the best, and they're, in a lot of cases, one of one or two. So, I mean, that's what we all aspire to, and it's certainly a treat when you get to watch those guys call games at that stage.
Now, Daniel, I want to ask you, you know, you've been with the Moose for 10 years now. What has been your favorite memory? You know, a game, a win, you know, possibly a playoff win as well. Like, what stands out to you right away?
Yeah, I think, I mean, when you go back to favorite memories, it's usually going to be something related to the playoffs. And I mean, there was probably what stands out to me is in the 2023 Calder Cup playoffs, the Moose were the lower seed to the Milwaukee Admirals, definitely an underdog. They lost the first game on home ice, and so that's a two at home, three on the road series. You go down 0-2, you're in a lot of trouble. Especially as the lower seed, and the Moose lose the first game. They're down by a goal into the final minute. Kohlmeyer ties the game with seconds left on the clock, and then the Moose win in overtime. And I'm not sure I've ever heard Canada Life Center that loud for a Moose game in this iteration of the Moose. Of course, they had some bonkers years back in Calder Cup runs and things like that. The first edition of the Moose, I guess some quick context is the Moose have been in Winnipeg from 1996 all the way to 2011. Then the Winnipeg Jets came back. The Moose went out to St. John's and then came back. just for the listeners that are kind of wondering why I keep talking about coming back to Winnipeg, things like that. And so that was an unbelievable atmosphere. The fans really turned out for that game in the playoffs and brought so much energy. And of course, the Moose go on to win the next game in overtime. And unfortunately, couldn't quite get it done against Milwaukee. But when you just find that energy in playoffs, it's so much fun. And I think going back is even further to 2018. The last time the Moose won a playoff series, again, they roll into Grand Rapids. They win in a deciding game five. That was a lot of fun to be a part of, especially again, kind of as a team that had struggled in the second half. Moose were the best team in the American Hockey League through the first half of the season. Call-ups, injuries, what have you, really struggled through the second half, but managed to find their way into a series win there against Grand Rapids. So it's those playoff memories that always stand out so much. So you're always hoping to make some more as you get into the new postseason, but we'll see how that all turns out.
And perhaps more postseason memories coming this year with the playoffs just about a month away. The final weekend would be a month from today. It's the 17th of March. Final weekend for the Roadrunners against the Silver Knights on the 17th of April. I don't know if that's the second to last game or the last game, but you get the point. Now, Daniel, here's a question that players are asked often, and it usually makes for good social media content, so I figure we'll give it a swing here on Happy Hour on Fox Sports 1450.
Run a business and not thinking about podcasting? Think again. More Americans listen to podcasts than ad-supported streaming music from Spotify and Pandora. And as the number one podcaster, iHeart's twice as large as the next two combined. So whatever your customers are into, true crime, sports, comedy, culture, they'll hear your message. Plus, only iHeart can extend your message to audiences across broadcast radio. And all this reach means everything. Just think about the universal marketing formula. The number of consumers who hear your message times the response rate equals the results. Now let's get those results growing for you. Think podcasting can help your business? Think iHeart. Streaming, radio, and podcasting. Let us show you at iHeartAdvertising.com. That's iHeartAdvertising.com. Or call 844-844-IHEART. One more time, call 844-844-IHEART and get podcasting working for you.
This episode is brought to you by Spreaker, the platform responsible for a rapidly spreading condition known as podcast brain. Symptoms include buying microphones you don't need, explaining RSS feeds to confused relatives, and saying things like, "Sorry, I can't talk right now, I'm editing audio." If this sounds familiar, you're probably already a podcaster. The good news is Spreaker makes the whole process simple. You record your show, upload it once, and Spreaker distributes it everywhere people listen. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and about a dozen apps your cousin swears are the next big thing. Even better, Spreaker helps you monetize your show with ads, meaning your podcast might someday pay for, well, more microphones. Start your show today at Spreaker.com. Spreaker. Because if you're going to talk to yourself for an hour, you might as well publish it.
If Daniel Fink, voice of the Manitoba Moose, was not the voice of the Manitoba Moose, and in fact not a sports broadcaster at all, what would he be doing?
I guess we'll go with my first career path, maybe a paleontologist, which might sound a little off the board, but from the time that I was about 3 years old until after my first year of university, that was the path. And that was laser focused on paleontology and studying dinosaurs and things like that. I was in geology in school, got a year into university, and just couldn't handle university. Whatever it was just not for me. And I went, I'm going to have to do this for another 10 years before I even have a sniff of kind of doing what I want to do. And then branched over into radio and eventually into sports communications, things like that. So I guess that would probably be the quickest and easiest answer to look on that. Otherwise, not too sure at this point. So that's probably the easiest answer, even though I completely branched off and figured out that it probably wasn't for me.
Now, it's funny you say you were discouraged by the fact that, oh, it's going to be 10 years till I make any headway. And then from there you said, well, why don't I go for sports broadcasting, where pretty much, maybe not 10 years, but generally you got to climb your way up the ladder for quite a while. Of course, maybe hard to find a career where that's not true, but sports broadcasting is definitely one of the more severe examples of that.
Yeah, I think it was more of a case of being in school for 10 years in just an environment that didn't foster my style of learning would probably be the best way to put it. There's probably way too much detail to go into about why it wasn't working for me. But I was always one of those kids in high school that teachers would get annoyed at because they'd be like, what am I going to use this for? What? Tell me what's applicable here. Get into university and about 80% of what you're learning has nothing to do with what your major is, or at least at that time. And then obviously it would have become more focused as I went along, and that just didn't jive for me. Struggled to learn in lecture sections with 250, 300 people. Didn't really work for me. Flipped over into radio, and it was all hands-on. I mean, we had a little bit of classroom learning early on, and then it was our second year we were running our own radio station. So it was very hands-on, very applicable. Everything I was learning was, oh, this is what I can use it for. And I still look back to my classes there over that two-year program. And even though I don't work at a radio station and play-by-play is probably about 15%, 20% of my job with the Moose, because it's still very focused on that communication side and content, things like that, I'm still using all the lessons I learned in that radio program every single day. So I can't speak highly enough of the television broadcast news program at State in Calgary, Alberta. It was amazing. It kind of got me on the right path. But you're right. I mean, I started out volunteering for my local junior A team. I guess that would be if you were to flip that down to the U.S., it would be like an NAHL team doing play-by-play through a student program they had for our college hockey team as well. They had something set up with the program that we could do play-by-play for. And then from there, I got a job with another essentially NAHL team, a junior A team in LaRonge, Saskatchewan. So if anybody wants to look that up, it's about 2.5 hours north of Prince Albert, which I'm guessing people would have to look up again, which is about an hour and a half north of Saskatoon. Maybe we're starting to get to some names that people would know in Saskatchewan. So it's about as far north as the paved road goes in Saskatchewan in Canada. And then down to Regina, Saskatchewan, to work for the Western Hockey League's Regina Pats, of course, of Connor Bedard fame. And so working on from there and over to Winnipeg to eventually join up with the Manitoba Moose. So you're right. It is a path. And it's funny. We have our Celebrating Women in Sport job shadow program coming up, and we all get a chance to kind of talk about what we do. And one of my key points in my presentation every year is, where are you willing to go? How far are you willing to go? What's your path going to be? Because a lot of us don't get to stay at home. I'm from Calgary, Alberta. A lot of us have to go out to a small town in Saskatchewan to get started because that's where the jobs are. And then wherever you may end up from there, there's only so many jobs in your hometown. So where are you willing to go? What are you willing to do? What path are you going to take? I had to stop doing play-by-play for a number of years to eventually fall backwards and kind of luck my way into doing it again. But this is probably a very long and winding answer to the question you asked, but the path is never straight, right? So that progression is part of the fun, I find, once you get out into the world and start making those relationships and going on that journey. That's so much of it. It's just that journey for me wasn't going to happen in the classroom.
Now, I'm happy to inform you, just so that you know you're in comfortable company, that in high school, I was a two-time recipient of socializes too much in class. So perhaps both of us were presenting report cards that were less than ideal at times. Patrick, let me ask you a related question, because the answer for me is no. Were you ever a dinosaur kid? Were you intrigued by those ancient creatures or not really? Because I never could get into it.
Oh, I wasn't myself. I mean, I was focused on trying to make the NHL, which was a pretty short kind of tenure a little bit. So I thought they were interesting, but I was always on the ice pretty much growing up, so I don't really have a lot of classroom time. I was normally in another state playing a tournament or going to a development camp or something like that. So unfortunately, that was not in my repertoire, unfortunately.
Well, Daniel, I wish you would have told me this earlier in the year, because in January, I found myself at the Natural History Museum in New York, which I had never been to before, which is surprising because I'm from over there. And a friend of mine is really bright and knows quite a bit about dinosaurs and pretty much everything outer space. And he was great in the museum. I was clueless. I was a fish out of water. It was really embarrassing. There were 10-year-olds that were running circles around me and pointing things out and naming things. And I was like, oh boy, I'm out of my depth here. So perhaps you could have been a helpful hand in that context. Nonetheless, we're going to go for a hard transition. And I want to conclude with this because I take a look at the NHL standings, the playoff picture, and there are so many different places my eyes go to. It's like looking at a Picasso painting. I just don't quite know where to focus in. I'm wondering, can you help me? Can you give me some direction? Is there one storyline that you are drawn to as we get close to the playoffs in both the AHL and NHL?
Well, I guess if you're talking about the NHL, it's just got to be the Buffalo Sabres at this point, doesn't it? I mean, a fan base that has been absolutely begging and starved for playoff hockey. I mean, I don't think the Sabres have been in the playoffs since the Winnipeg Jets came back to Winnipeg. I mean, you think about that. That is a long time for a franchise to be out. And you know what? For that franchise, for its fans, to be having the season they are having, to have the exciting team that they have, I don't think there's any better story right now in hockey. And I guess running along with that, Rick Bowness, former head coach of the Winnipeg Jets and Dallas Stars, links up with the Columbus Blue Jackets, and all of a sudden they're a freight train. So I mean, there's some fun stories out in that Eastern Conference. And I guess if you're looking at the Western Conference, I mean, you have the shaky ground right now, but the dominance of the Colorado Avalanche. But all of a sudden, the Dallas Stars are right behind them. And then you've got, it's just a murderous top three there with the Minnesota Wild in the mix as well. I mean, there's some fun storylines in the National Hockey League that are going to come to a head sooner rather than later because of the playoff format. So it's going to be a very interesting first couple of rounds in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And if you're looking at the AHL, I mean, of course, the Grand Rapids Griffins get off to the best start in league history and truly video game numbers. Absolutely ridiculous. All of a sudden, the Providence Bruins have stepped to the top of the standings. So you've got two absolute juggernauts at the top of the standings, but you just never know what's going to happen in the American Hockey League this time of year, because you start to look at teams in the NHL that aren't going to make the playoffs. If the Nashville Predators miss, do all of a sudden the Milwaukee Admirals get half of their team back and the Red Wings are in the playoffs and they still have a bunch of those guys from Grand Rapids? That could put a pretty good Milwaukee team on a collision course with the Griffins if they can come out of that 4-5 matchup, if that's where they even end up. Maybe they charge up the States. The AHL is such a mess this time of year because of the playoff format. So many teams get in, and then once you're in, who knows what happens. And I think that's the beauty of playoff hockey is once you're there, nothing from the regular season matters anymore. All of a sudden, top scorers go quiet. Guy that was on the fourth line scores four goals in the first round. It's just the best time of year, guys, and we're almost there.
We're almost there. To me, the East, I agree with you, in the NHL. I mean, it's stunning. You've got the two teams that, okay, I'm not surprised to see Tampa Bay and Carolina continuing to do what they do. But aside from that, pretty much what's up is down and down is up. You're going to tell me that the Panthers they're not even close. I mean, you never say never, but we're getting pretty close to being able to write them off. And of course, the defending champions the last 2 years, Washington was also a top seed last year. They look like they're going to be on the outside. I'm sure most people who live in Canada, the ones that aren't from Toronto, have a little bit of a guilty grin with the Maple Leafs looking like they're not going to make it as well. And the Sabres are right there now leading the Atlantic Division. I mean, it is pretty stunning when you think about how many people could have predicted one or two of those things. Nonetheless, all of them, I'm sure it's a very small number. Daniel, we thank you so much for the time. Have a great call this weekend. Let's hope for some competitive games between Manitoba and Tucson on Saturday and Monday.
Looking forward to it. I mean, it's been a long time since the Roadrunners have been in Winnipeg, so it should be a lot of fun to see them out there.
Thanks again. Welcome back to Happy Hour on Fox Sports 1450. David Meridian alongside Patrick Moore. Patrick, we just heard from Daniel Fink, the voice of the Manitoba Moose, and he said this is a confident team, a team that's still very much jockeying for that last bye in the Central Division, got to be in the top three to advance to the second round, and that would likely set up a matchup there in the 3-2 spot between the Moose and the Chicago Wolves. But it seems like things are going pretty well in Manitoba, so with that, what do you expect this weekend between the two teams?
I think it's just going to be an ultra-competitive series. I mean, the Roadrunners are, you know, trying to get over San Diego for that seventh spot, and Manitoba, they're hanging on to a 2-point cushion. Dallas is right on. Another team that, again, around that time when the Roadrunners played Manitoba, was struggling at the start of the year. They've also found their footing The Roadrunners did not play Texas this season, but I mean, again, I think, you know, it's that time, as Daniel kind of, you know, pushed on it, you know, they, you know, it's really close games. I mean, not many games left. The Roadrunners, after the Manitoba series, will only have 11. Manitoba will have, I believe, 15 games remaining. So it's just going to be one of those things. I mean, it's getting to that time, pretty much, in a long-winded, short-form version.
Here's the standings check right now. In the Pacific, it's Tucson, 63 points, 8th place, 1 point behind the San Diego Gulls. Yes, that's how close the margins are for who's going to make the postseason and who is not. The Gulls, 1 point ahead. The Gulls also have one game in hand, and all of a sudden, the Henderson Silver Knights, they seem to be entering a different discussion, and that discussion is not whether they're going to make the postseason, but perhaps if they can get themselves a home game. They're just 6 points out of fourth. They've got two games in hand with the Condors. They also have two games in hand with the Roadrunners. So it looks like it'll be tough for Tucson to catch Henderson, and it may come down to San Diego and the Roadrunners, separated by just a point for that number seven seed in the Pacific. And then in the Central, it's the Moose with 62 points, 55 games played in third place. Now, interestingly enough, the Roadrunners have 63 points. They've played four more games than the Moose, but they have one more point than Manitoba. But just because of the complexion of the standings and the divisions, Tucson in much more of a precarious position than the Moose are. And it does seem like it could be Manitoba and Chicago, that first round 3-2 matchup in the Central after a bye. So it's going to be the Roadrunners two-game set beginning on Saturday at noon Arizona time, coverage beginning at 11:45 a.m. on Fox Sports 1450, and then Monday the 23rd, 5 p.m. Arizona time, both of those games up in Winnipeg. So that's the readout there, Patrick. The other thing Daniel touched on was his NHL storylines. He said the Sabres were his most impressive. Was there anything he didn't mention that you'd like to kind of fill in the cracks?
I mean, pretty much the Buffalo Sabres is one of the main things. But if we're going to go in the Western Conference, it is that wild card spot, as I know we, you know, kind of briefly touched on earlier in the show. The Utah Mammoth are at 76 points right now. They have a 5-point cushion on Seattle, but it's that last wild card spot in the Western Conference. You got Seattle that is currently holding that spot with 71 points. The Kings are tied with them, but due to some tiebreakers, Seattle has that edge on them. And then pretty much San Jose, the Predators and the Winnipeg Jets, they're kind of starting to fall behind. The Winnipeg Jets kind of had a very slow start, but had a surge, but some recent losses have kind of made them start to go back down a little bit. But it's pretty much the Kraken, the Kings, and the Sharks. Those three teams looking for that last wild card spot in the Western Conference. That's the headline for me. What about you?
I think Buffalo is the number one for sure. I think it's very interesting to see that last spot in the West. Is it going to be LA, who I think a lot of people expect and are kind of waiting for? Are they going to edge out Seattle for that last spot? And will one of them get hot and maybe be able to do some damage? I mean, they're going to be playing likely Colorado in the first round. And sometimes it's interesting to me, Patrick, you've got the one team that's comfortable. They've been there against the other team that steals that last wild card spot. Will they have any momentum? That'll be a storyline for me to keep an eye on. But that'll do it for our show here for Happy Hour on Fox Sports 1450. For our producer, Michael Goodrich, Patrick Moore, this is David Meridian saying so long. We thank you so much for listening to Happy Hour. We'll see you next Tuesday at 5.
Running for office means having something important to say. Radio is the most personal medium out there. Voters hear the real you, exactly the way you want to be heard. No filters, no AI, just your voice, your message. And it's 1/10 the time and cost of video. Don't just campaign. Connect with millions all over the country, even thousands in the smallest communities, with radio. Call now and be on the air in just 48 hours. 844-844-IHEART. That's 844-844-IHEART.